first reading is verses from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. And then from Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. This is the word of the Lord.
Our theme this morning is catching the wind of the Spirit. And probably you will spot a sailing metaphor here, as I did. Now, despite growing up by the sea and Alton Broad, the only one of the Norfolk Broads that is in Suffolk, I just want to put that out there, I have almost never sailed. My only real experience of catching the wind on the water is in windsurfing, which I have done precisely three times. The first time was in Greece, off the Greek mainland. I saw someone else trying it for the first time, and he did all right. And I thought, how hard can it be? My tuition consisted of someone telling me, this is how you get on the board. This is how you pull up the sail. This is how you catch the wind. Off you go. So I went out on the water, I got up on the board, and off I went, right back into the water. This was a repeating pattern. On to the board I got, off I fell. I did a few times manage to actually hoist the sail into the right position and plant my feet firmly and try to find the wind, and then I fell off again and again. And that was an hour or two of my life I never got back. The second time I tried it was a few years later, off a Greek island. And I had slightly more instruction than before, which consisted of, this is how you get on the board, this is how you pull up the sail, this is how you catch the wind, and the new instruction, this is how you turn. So, on I got, up I stood, up came the sail, and behold, I caught the wind. And all of a sudden I could feel this exhilaration of the wind tugging away on the sail, and I stayed upright. And the board started moving out to sea. Not too fast, not too slow. It wasn't particularly rough. I was gliding across the waves. It was amazing. Exhilarated by the tug of the wind on the sail, enjoying the ups and downs of the gentle swell, thinking, I can do this. Before I knew it, I was half a mile out to sea, and I decided it might be time to turn. I did what I'd been told to do. I turned the sail. I got my feet in the right place. The board came round to go back towards the shore, and I fell off. Pride comes before a splash. Many times pride came before a splash, and many splashes later, and more pushing of the board than actually being on it, I made it back to the shore with some relief. The third time I went windsurfing, we just don't want to go there. Now, the most common metaphor that the Bible uses for the Holy Spirit is wind. In the Hebrew of the Old Testament, it's the word ruach that is used, translated as wind, or breath, and spirit. And right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we hear, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the ruach of God, the spirit of God, was hovering over the waters. In the primordial soup of creation, the wind of God, the breath of God, the spirit of God is there, ready to bring order to the chaos of the waters, ready to breathe life into the first human beings that God creates. Ruach. In the New Testament, the Greek word is pneuma, which gives us English words like pneumatic. I mean, pneumatic tires, pneumatic drills, that kind of thing. Air-filled, wind-filled. And again, pneuma can mean wind or breath or spirit. On the day of Pentecost, as 120 or so believers are obeying Jesus' command, waiting in one place, they hear a sound like the blowing of a violent wind coming from the heavens, filling the house where they are sitting. And there are tongues of fire too, so maybe we should have asked the Spirit to light the candle. And they are filled with the pneuma, the Spirit, and they praise God in many tongues as the pneuma enables them. Now, I know that some of you, like me, use the online Lectio 365 daily readings. And I was very taken with last Wednesday's thoughts, which kind of have prompted this sermon or the direction of it. So have a listen to this comment from last Wednesday's Lectio 365. The person of the Holy Spirit, experienced as a mighty rushing wind, will now play a leading role in the rest of the God story. The disciples, like sailboats, will be blown beyond the boundaries into uncharted waters, confronting their comforts and control, crossing cultures, exposing their prejudice and pride. Propelled by the Holy Spirit, the pulsating life of God's longing love for all people, they will carry the gospel from the streets of Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And that is the story of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, isn't it? The believers wait for the day of Pentecost, as Jesus commanded, to receive the Holy Spirit that he promised. In mighty power, the Spirit comes and sweeps them off their feet and out into the waters of mission in God's world. And it's quite a voyage. Sometimes they sail with the wind of the Spirit, as many believers are added to their number daily. Other times they meet the Spirit head on, unable to go to the places that they want to go, and pushed back to the places where the Spirit wants them to be. At times, they are becalmed and going nowhere. Frequently, it seems, they are tossed and turned by storms about them, including a literal 14-day storm as Paul is being transported to Rome, having appealed to Caesar. Is even this storm, I wonder, the wind of the Spirit fulfilling God's purposes? And that's also the story of our Christian lives, this exhilarating, challenging, frustrating journey of faith in which we seek to take Jesus to others, often with mixed results, and we wonder what the Spirit is doing. How do we catch the wind of the Spirit? I hope that you know that if you are a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to be a believer without the work of the Spirit within you, convicting you of sin and bringing you to new birth in Jesus Christ. And yet, not every believer is filled with the Spirit, and no believer, I think, is filled with the Spirit all of the time. Because we leak, don't we? So, I want to talk about how we catch the wind of the Spirit. And the first way to catch the wind is to be filled with it. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, you might say that this is not something that you can do. Surely, you know, the filling of the Spirit just comes upon us. We can't decide to be filled with the Spirit, can we? But actually, the Apostle Paul says to us that we can. Ephesians 5, verse 18, Paul says to his readers, well, he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, all sorts of sin. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Always I found that quite amusing, really. Don't get drunk on wine, have Spirit instead. And maybe we are high and full in another way there. But Paul is saying there that we must be filled with the Spirit, not just once, but on an ongoing basis. English doesn't always provide a good translation of the language of the New Testament. And this is one of those instances. Yes, it's true to be say, be filled with the Spirit. But really there's a sense of be filled and go on being filled with the Spirit. So Paul is saying, I think, that this is something that we can choose for ourselves. We can ask God. We can ask God every day or every moment we need it. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And having asked, we need to believe. You know, he says, you know, ask and you shall receive, Jesus says elsewhere, doesn't he? So we can choose to be filled with the Spirit. And we can choose not to do the things that would rob us of the Spirit, the sins that creep into our lives, and seek God's forgiveness for those things when they do. But that's the first way, I think, to catch the wind of the Spirit, is be filled with the Spirit. The second thing I want to say is that we should also be expectant for the Spirit. God's Spirit is always at work. May not always seem like that to us, but it is. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The wind blows wherever it wills. I think often churches will decide to do something, or maybe as individuals we decide to do something, and then we ask God, Lord, will you bless what we are doing? Ever done that? Probably all of us have. But isn't it better to see what God is doing already and say, Lord, can we do what you are blessing? To turn it round and look at the work of God. And I think we've done this, for example, with the Renew Cafe that we run on a Saturday morning. Renew was already a movement of mental well-being cafes opening around the country, and we decided we would try it. And let me be honest, occasionally when we have opened up on a Saturday morning, we have had literally no one come along. But we've been there in case they wanted to come along. Yesterday, we had 10 of us, including volunteers, 9 of whom shared in the short time of prayer that's at the heart of Renew that we do every week. The wind of the Spirit is blowing gently there, and we are catching the wind. This afternoon at the Lace Hill Community Fun Day is another way in which we are seeing what the Spirit is blessing, I believe, and doing it with him. I'm pretty sure, although it fades into the mists of time, that it's now 7 years ago that we were looking at arranging a community fun day for Lace Hill as a church. And those things were in place. But it turned out that at that time, Sam, the centre manager of Lace Hill Community Centre, was also looking at doing much the same sort of thing. And it seemed that the Spirit was prompting us, rather than organising our own thing, which becomes a church thing and just a church thing, it seemed that it would be better to share in something that was part of the community as a whole. And we have been sharing in it ever since, little by little becoming known as a church here on this estate, here for our community, catching the wind of the Spirit. Even if you hadn't planned to come along this afternoon, I want to encourage you to come and maybe just attend, but certainly you can come and have a go on the coconut shy if you get there early enough. That always goes down. Oh, so popular that. Who got the coconuts? We got plenty of coconuts? Excellent. I mean, sometimes it feels like we need to nail them to the stand, actually. People get too good, don't they? But they're small, okay. So not too big a target then. But it's a way that we are seeking to bless our community. And I believe that God has been blessing our community through that. So we continue doing that. So be filled with the Spirit. Be expectant for the Spirit. And thirdly, be ready for the Spirit, which at first glance sounds a bit the same as be expectant for the Spirit. But maybe there's a bit more to it. Sometimes it seems as though, well, not much is happening in church life. It seems as though we are becalmed. But as any yachtsman knows, being becalmed is part of sailing, isn't it? It perhaps can even be a relief between the exhilaration of being driven forward by the wind and the exhaustion of being battered by the storms. Perhaps God allows us to be becalmed so that we can rest and refocus on him. And yet, we should know that the wind of the Spirit will blow again and be ready to angle the sails of our lives towards him. That could be the case this afternoon. I think it's great, the booklet that Andrew came across and introduced last week, Try Praying. And the idea is that, well, we've tried it now. Now give it away. Because if praying has blessed us, as I know that it's blessed me through my life, then it can be a blessing to others. And I know that the times when I've offered prayer to people, occasionally on the streets, just on the spur of the moment, most of the time people are very willing to have a prayer said for them, either then or later. People respond to that. People like the fact that someone has offered to pray for them. So give it away, and who knows what the Spirit will do. The disciples, going back to that earlier quote, the disciples, like sailboats, will be blown beyond the boundaries into uncharted waters, confronting their comforts and control, crossing cultures, exposing their prejudice and pride, propelled by the Holy Spirit, the pulsating life of God's longing love for all people, they will carry the gospel from the streets of Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So may we be propelled out there and beyond by the Spirit, the pulsating life of God's longing love for all people, and carry the gospel from this place to Lace Hill and Buckingham and to the ends of the earth. Amen.